Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast. Become a Coast Insider, and you can hear this complete conversation as well as recent shows featuring guests discussing new cases of the troubling cattle mutilation phenomenon, worrisome instances of clandestine CIA torture, and the evidence that the lost city of Atlantis may have really once existed. Check out these programs and many other fascinating episodes waiting for you in the Coast to Coast Archive by heading over to coasttocoastam.com and signing up for Coast Insider.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Mike Barra back with us. Mike, of course, noted author of a number of books, including The Choice. We were just with him on Ancient Aliens and JFK. And we're going to be talking with Michael about what's really happening on Mars. You know, Michael, we get so many reports of strange stories on Mars. Our rovers are still there. What's the inside scoop? What are you hearing? What's happening there?
Well, I mean, George, it's really fascinating because, again, you have this lake that's announced today, and it really is old news to anybody who's been listening to Coast since 2001, 2002. So it's not like it's something completely new. It's just sort of new to the general public who doesn't listen to your show, right? But again, I mean, I'm looking at the images that have been presented that support this article, and I'm looking, and there's stuff there that looks like structures. There's stuff there that looks like ruined walls. So I'm thinking to myself, is this, you know, is it like Disclosure, kind of a double-edged sort of Disclosure? Like, they're actually want everybody to pay attention because of this big discovery of a lake, and then they put these pictures out of the area, and it looks like there was ruins there. So, I mean, I'm feeling like what we're seeing is a slow, steady, drip, drip, drip kind of Disclosure that's happening without any really official acknowledgement. I mean, they're 20 years behind in terms of what they're willing to talk about, but what they're showing us is really extraordinary stuff.
Mike, tell me scientifically, what do you think happened to Mars, and when did it happen? Because everybody says it once had an atmosphere. We right. Now know it has a lake. Maybe it had an ocean. What happened to that planet?
Well, it definitely had oceans, but I mean, I think that obviously something really bad happened to Mars. Now, remember that the whole thing about what time this happened, how long ago this catastrophe was, is all based on the idea of crater counts, which basically is from the perspective of NASA's concept of planetary formation, how this all worked. And there's a period called the late heavy bombardment, which was kind of the last time in the solar system when there's still a lot of junk, a lot of asteroids and rocks that were hitting the planets and cratering them out. And then over the next 3 billion years or so, supposedly, you know, the planets had water, everything got smoothed out, and the craters disappeared. But Mars has what are commonly known as tidal bulges. And what that means is that it was once in a tidal lock relationship, an orbit around a bigger parent planet, just exactly like the moon is in orbit around the Earth, always showing us the same face. And every object, every moon in the solar system that's in a relationship like that has these tidal bulges. So what that means is that there was a planet somewhere near the orbit of where Mars is today that is no longer with us, that was blown up or exploded in some natural catastrophe, and not only wiped out the civilization that was there, but accounted for all of the craters. I mean, the thing about Mars is this line of dichotomy where you've got this pretty smooth cue ball northern surface, and then you've got the southern hemisphere, which is just completely blasted with so many craters you can't even count them or name them. So that means that their whole method of counting and aging and dating is completely wrong. And if that's the case, we're looking at this catastrophe, this explosion in the solar system. It could have happened 500,000 years ago. It could have happened a couple million years ago. It could have happened 10 million years ago. It could have happened a billion years ago. But I tend to think it was much more recent than that. I think it was probably within a few 100,000 years that this explosion took place. Other people say, you know, Tom Van Flandern, who kind of came up with this, the exploded planet hypothesis, the late Dr. Tom Van Flandern, he thought that it was around 65 million years ago, the time the dinosaurs were extinct, that it was part of that event. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really a question of, we don't know when this stuff happened, but it certainly looks like Mars was habitable not that long ago.
Could it happen here, some kind of catastrophe like that?
Yeah, it could happen here. I mean, you know, we always talk about, and a lot of us have heard a lot about Nibiru and Sitchin and his concepts of Nibiru coming through. But in kind of reading his later books, I got the impression that Nibiru never really came that close to the inner solar system. It didn't really get anywhere near the Earth, and the whole magnetic pole alignment thing and pole shifts, I don't think that really ever happened. But what it could do is it could get in around the area of the asteroid belt. So if a big object like that came through, let's say Nibiru was actually a brown dwarf star, as some people speculate, it would perturb a whole bunch of bodies in the asteroid belt, and then it would be like a shooting gallery. It would be like somebody blasted a shotgun at us, and we'd be very, very lucky to avoid getting a major hit from an asteroid. So something like that, even a large single object, a very large asteroid, of course, we all know could cause an extinction-level event, an ELE, as they call it, and really do a number on life on planet Earth. So that could happen. The other thing that's, of course, really a problem, which is why NASA doesn't like to talk about really what really happened to Mars, is, at least in terms of like a recent time frame, is that if this other planet that Mars used to orbit actually exploded, then guess what? That means that planets can explode. So if NASA were to admit that, what do you think the first question is going to be at the press conference?
That's right. Will it happen to Earth?
Yeah, don't we live on a planet? Couldn't this planet explode? And that would really sort of mess people's lives up. So I think that you've got all these political questions that are swirling around what should be a scientific discussion, but you know, you can't avoid the politics of it.
Is the asteroid belt the remnants of that exploded planet?
Yeah, I think that one, and there's actually another one that probably exploded that Van Flandern theorized that actually was in the area of the asteroid belt. Most of the debris probably would have been sucked up by Jupiter, but if you look at what they used to call the Titus-Bode law of planetary spacing, basically it says that every planet is about twice as far from the sun as the previous planet, and it works pretty much all the way out to Neptune and Uranus, although Uranus is off because it's got hit by something else. But, I mean, if you look at it that way, you've basically got a planet, probably one of these heavy, rocky super-Earths, roughly in the orbit of where Mars is now, and then there should be another one where the asteroid belt is. So it looks like there's probably at least two former bodies, planetary bodies in the solar system that simply no longer exist, and nobody really knows why or what happened to them. But I do think it's a question that we ought to be really focusing on, and we're not going to be able to do that unless we start being honest about what actually happened to Mars and more importantly, when it probably happened.
Mike, do you think the moon was part of Earth or that it was an object that hit Earth and that's what's left?
No, I don't buy the second one. I think the biggest argument that the moon was part of Earth is that they did some studies on the oxygen isotopic ratio of lunar soil. And what they found basically is that the various elements and isotopes that make up material on Earth, make up the elements, you know, lead, whatever, they actually had the same numbers. And what that means is that the moon itself was fissioned off the Earth. It was part of the Earth. Now, I guess theoretically, if a larger body hit the Earth and knocked away the moon, that you would get a mixture of these three different, you know, the Earth, the moon, and this other body, and it would kind of all tend to be that way. But it seems more likely to me that the fission model is correct, because that was, again, Dr. Van Flandern's model, was the idea that planets basically got spewed out from the sun as, you know, balls of molten energy, molten lava, molten material that eventually spun and cooled and formed the hardened planets that we see today. The bigger ones, the gas giants, were formed the earliest. So if that's correct, then what would happen is all the spin energy that the Earth possessed when it was first spun away from the sun would then have spun off a smaller moon, a moon exactly like the one we see. So I think it's kind of a combination of these two things. I think it's, you know, people always ask me, is the moon artificial? And I'm like, well, kind of, sort of, some of it is. And I think what happened is this thing is a natural satellite of the Earth that has been heavily, heavily modified by somebody at some point in the distant past.
Mike Barra with us. His website is his name, Mike Barra, BARA.com. It's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Mike, with everything that's happening out there in the solar system and the universe, what still drives and excites you?
I think, you know, it's kind of interesting because that's a great question, because I think to myself, you know, I kind of know, I feel like I kind of know what the history of the solar system is. I have a pretty good idea of what happened. I have a pretty good idea why it happened. I don't always talk about the details about that because it's a little out there. But, I mean, I have a pretty good idea what happened. And what's exciting to me now is seeing the mainstream kind of come along with that idea. They start, you know, this is an example today. I mean, if they had actually made this revelation about this lake, this briny lake, in 2001 or 2002, it would have been a much bigger deal in the sense that it would have been more contemporaneous with the things that me and other researchers were talking about at that time. But it's like finally, almost 20 years later, 16, 17 years later, to see them finally coming around to our way of thinking and coming around to the things that all the lunar researchers, people like Keith Laney and Gary, a lot of other guys out there that have been working on this stuff, have known for a long time, is really encouraging, because what that could mean is that eventually they will start admitting what some of this stuff is that we see on Mars and we see on the moon, which is, as we both know, artificial. There are artificial structures on these planets. So, you know, I think that what excites me is that the shift in the political winds, I guess, is how I would describe it, because these debates are not scientific. I mean, if you want to apply science, Mars has got artificial structures on it. The moon has artificial structures on it. It's the political problem that we have. It's the fact that these issues are so politicized is what keeps us from simply admitting what everybody who has eyes can see.
Last week, we had the anniversary of our landing on the moon with Apollo 11. What do you think of those skeptics who still continue to say, we never went to the moon?
Oh, God. It drives
and they do.
Yeah, I know, and it drives me insane. And it, you know, I was at a presentation in Manchester given by a very nice man that was just, I mean, everything he said was completely wrong. It just, you know, he was talking about the photography and like, look how great this picture is. And you're telling me that this guy had a camera strapped to his chest and he leaned way back and took a picture of the lunar module and it came out this perfect. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they did, because they trained for months and months and months with these cameras and they did all these things to simplify them, to make the photography really good. And it's so aggravating to have to constantly battle this, because the thing is, George, is that, look, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I freely admit that. I think a lot of your guests admit that. I'm not even sure you're not a conspiracy theorist.
Well, I want answers, like you do.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay, but the thing is that if we embrace the dumb conspiracy theories without thinking them through and hashing them out within the UFO community and coming to some sort of rational discussion about them, then it makes the rest of us look like fools. It really makes us look stupid. And to me, that's what this whole fake moon landing stuff really gets under my skin. In fact, it got under my skin so much that I devoted the last three chapters of Ancient Aliens and JFK to whether or not we actually went to the moon. And, you know, I mean, like I said in the book, John F. Kennedy would not have committed us to a course of action that was not achievable. Right. Everybody knows it was achievable. And if you've ever worked in engineering or aerospace, you know that none of the problems that are frequently listed were insurmountable. They simply weren't.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
The following is a high-five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.